Reading from Psalms chapter 90. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Before Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return, ye children of men, for 1,000 years in Thy sight are as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are like a sleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is there strength and labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. And now I'd like to share with you from the Gospel of John. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. Jesus said unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Shall we bow our heads as we go to the Lord in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy great plan that You have for us here as mortals upon this earth. We thank Thee for the privilege of coming to Thee now, and we thank Thee for the life of our brother Sheldon. We thank Thee that we can commit him into Thy loving hands, for there are no better hands nor loving hands than Thine. And we pray Your peace and Your strength at this time for the family. Lift them up and strengthen them, and for the friends and the loved ones, wherever they may be. And now we pray Your presence to be with us here for the remainder of this service, and we ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
Sheldon Leroy Emery, 58 years of age, founder and pastor of Lord's Covenant Church, Scottsdale, Arizona, died on June 7, 1985, in Mexico. Sheldon was born July 4, 1926, in Jump River, Wisconsin. He attended Wood Prairie Grade School in 1943, and then attended Hannibal High School, and upon graduation from high school, he entered Stevens Point Teachers College. Sheldon was inducted into the Army Air Corps in 1945, completing his military service in the winter of 1949. Sheldon was married to Elaine Gloves on September 6, 1947, in Jump River, Wisconsin. Sheldon and Elaine have four children, Brian Wade, Gregory Jean, and twins Mark Oren and Martha Mary. Survivors include his wife Elaine, two sons, Brian and Mark, and a daughter, Martha. His mother, Mrs. Martha Chittingen of Medford, Wisconsin, a sister, Priscilla Day, of Gilman, Wisconsin, and 10 grandchildren. He was preceded in death by his second son, Gregory, and will be laid to rest next to him. Sheldon was ordained on June 25, 1967, at Gospel Temple, Hopkins, Minnesota. Upon ordination, he was asked to come to the Phoenix area to start Lord's Covenant Church in August of 1967. From this small beginning, Lord's Covenant Church has grown to be a nationwide radio and tape ministry. He also authored numerous books, publications, and tracts. Lord's Covenant Church will continue under the able direction and supervision of Pastor Ben Williams, who has been Sheldon's assistant pastor for 4 years. Your prayers for Pastor Williams, his family, and all who labor in the ministry of Lord's Covenant Church would be appreciated. At this time, Pastor Robert Record from Escondido, California, will share some thoughts with us. Pastor Record.
I'd like to reminisce just a little. I first became acquainted with Pastor Emery at Gospel Temple in Hopkins, Minnesota. Through Pastor Stadsclav, he began to get a hold of the gospel of the kingdom and the national message. And while we were conducting what we call the National Association of Kingdom Evangelicals, we had a conference every year, a summer conference particularly, and Pastor Emery, before he was a pastor, spoke at one of the conferences. And It wasn't long after that that he was ordained, and I was present at his ordination. And Pastor Emery had a good mind. He didn't go to a seminary. He didn't go to Bible school. He began preaching, and he was, I'd call him a self-made or self-educated preacher. I think he had one of the best analytical minds of anybody I have ever known. He could remember a lot of things that we forget, and by association come to conclusions that were often very beneficial. In 1970, Pastor Emery and I began going to Washington, D.C., where we spoke to our congressman there on matters of national interest upon the money question and the kingdom of God. And approaching the end of the age as we are, we can but believe, and I would just like to offer something here from the 57th chapter of Isaiah, verses 1 and 2, which I think partially answers the passing away of good men. Here in the Moffat translation of Isaiah 57, verses 1 and 2, we read, "Meanwhile, the good man dies, and no one heeds it. Pious men are perishing, and no one cares. The evil of the day kills off good men. They enter peace, for only in the grave can upright men ever find rest." This passage has come to my mind many times, and I can't help but think of it in connection with the passing of Pastor Emery. He leaves a void that's going to be difficult to fill. We are all different, and it's my prayer that I believe God's working out His purpose and His plan for each of us. And though we might not see that purpose, we not understand it, God seems to stand behind the shadows, yet someday we'll understand. And I praise the Lord that was my privilege to know Brother Emery as I did. For many years we were more like a brother than a fellow pastor because of our association and going to Washington. And poor Elaine and the family, the separation won't be long because I believe the Lord is coming back soon, and we'll have a brighter day. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Record. And now at this time, Pastor Ben Williams will share his thoughts.
Christian Israel, America is mourning the passing of a leader among men. Leaders of the stature of Pastor Emery are hard to find. Israel has had many great men in the past. She's lost many great men. She just lost another. Psalm 116, verse 15 says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints." Last Thursday evening, there was a precious death in the eyes of the Lord in Israel. Pastor Emery has been a tool in the hand of the Lord in Israel. He was used of God in a mighty way. For the past 4 years, I've worked closely with him. And as his assistant pastor, I can tell you that I was able to observe, both in myself and in others, many things. And I've been able to learn many things. I thank our Lord Jesus that I was fortunate enough to find myself at the feet of Pastor Emery for 4 years, learning from him, and watching as God moved and accomplished things through him, because he was a vessel that God worked through. I think we're all thankful that God was pleased to establish Pastor Emery here in this ministry, because Pastor Emery was used of God to feed his sheep. At his death, what better thing can be said? What other epitaph could be more glorious than one which reads, "He was used of God"? He was used of God. The voices of thousands of people across this land will attest to that fact. He was used of God. As a servant of God, in the short time that I knew him, he literally expended himself in serving and preaching the kingdom of God. He certainly was the vessel in God's hand while God was doing a work amongst us in our day. And we saw it. He was God's man of the hour. He was a great leader in the army of Jesus Christ. He lived and he died serving that commission. No greater thing could be asked of any man than to be able to live and to die serving in the army of Christ. Pastor Emery did that. You and I should covet to go down in the record books of God as having lived and died serving in that army. His commander-in-chief, Jesus Christ, is still our commander-in-chief. Pastor Emery left Israel a legacy. He left a standard of excellence that I think all ministries should look to. May he rest peacefully, secure in Jesus. He fought the good fight. He finished his course, and he's kept the faith. Now he's at rest.
I'd rather think of just saying it's farewell to Pastor Emery, not goodbye, farewell, or as they would say in German, Auf Wiedersehen. And I can say that on the authority of the Scriptures, because we will see one another. And as has already been mentioned, that the other ministers, their acquaintance with Pastor Emery has been for some years, and I met Pastor Emery in 1967, the year he was ordained. And through the years, I've been able to have the fellowship with him and his good family, and we've enjoyed this. There were several years that I was also able to go to Washington, D.C. and have fellowship with him, with other ministers, and this afforded a time where we could get better together, better acquainted, and also his coming to share in our conferences in Spokane. And in the last year when he was up, we really enjoyed the many men that came up, and especially Pastor Emery, because we knew he had just overcome this heart operation. And when we knew he was sick, then we just sort of realized how precious he was to us. And I'm sure you all agree. And we've had many people from our congregation that have sent their love to the family, and they have made some remarks, and we've wrote them down. My wife helped me write them down, and I'd ask her to help remember what was said. And so I'd just like to share some thoughts. And although Sheldon has laid this body down, his works live on. He has left behind a wealth of information in his tapes and printed material. And he's left behind a tremendous host of witnesses whose first and sometimes only knowledge of the heritage of God's people Israel came through his efforts. All across this land, his voice went out as a tremendous witness for Christ and his kingdom. He was a real giant in our kingdom identity movement. He spoke the truth without wavering or watering it down. His clear, precise, and logical way of expounding the word caught and held the attention of those who heard his message and read his literature, and do to this very day and will in the future. The enemy couldn't daunt him, although they tried awfully hard. He had the courage to stand for what he believed. He's beyond their reach now, and yet his thoughts and words live on in the many tapes and pieces of his writings that have found a place in hearts and homes throughout our land. He, being dead, yet speaketh through these avenues, and also through the continuance of the radio broadcast as they reach out into thousands of homes throughout America. As Sheldon's ministry grew, he desired to see other kingdom ministries grow also. He was generous and unselfish with his time and help on their behalf. We were the recipients of his graciousness, as were many others. To use an old English expression, he was a prince of a fellow and was dearly loved by many, many people. Pastor Williams has already mentioned from Psalms 116, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." As we gather here this afternoon to pay our last respects in memory of Sheldon, the sweet psalmist of Israel reminds us that in the Lord's eyes, the death of those who are faithful and devoted to him, their death is precious. These are precious words from our God, our holy God. Death, as we know it, was not a mystery to the Lord Jesus Christ, or was it to the Apostle Paul? And this is shown in Paul's second epistle to Timothy, where he described to Timothy that he would soon lay down his life as it was time for him to depart from this world. And he had no fear of this. He was aware that his time here was limited. And we read of this in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, which I'd like to share at this time. In verses 6 to 8, Paul writes to Timothy, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not only to me only, but also unto all them that love his appearing." And I'm sure our brother Sheldon will be there. And so we notice here Paul isn't fearful of death. He isn't apprehensive of what's going to happen. He's ready now to give his life. He fought the fight. He kept the faith. Even though he knew his departure was at hand, Paul knew what was going to happen hereafter. And so he didn't fear death, and we are told the last enemy to be overcome is death. And at this time, we are to trust God, trust our lives and our hands in his precious hands. And as I've already mentioned, Sheldon also, he fought the good fight. He finished his course, and he kept the faith to the end. It is the Apostle Paul who gives us more light and understanding concerning the mystery of death than any of the other apostles and what happens when we lay this body down. And we read of this, or some of his thoughts, in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, where he says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, this physical body, if it's dissolved, and it will, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. It's not a physical body. It's a spiritual body that God has promised. For in this, he says, we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. We'll be having this glorious body from heaven. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. And so Paul was looking for this day when he could lay this body down and have this immortal body that is now reserved for those that love the Lord. And now he that hath wrought us for this very thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of his Spirit. And you know, none of us had any choice of being born into this world. And we don't have any choice when we leave this world, do we? That's all under God's hand. It's all under God's provision. And he's made us. He's created us. And we had no say in this matter. And thank God we don't. Because a lot of times we make many more mistakes than what we do. But God is gracious and he's given us some life, but we know that we are his, and especially those that love him. Continuing on with Paul, he says, therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in this body, we are absent for the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And that's what Jesus wants us to do, to walk by faith, trusting him. Therefore, we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted to him. Wherever we are, that our lives are devoted to the Lord, and that we may be accepted of him, regardless what happens. And now, I'd like to share a thought from the Apostle John, where he states, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. And perhaps one of the most comforting scriptures is written again by the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. And we'll close our service with this scripture, beginning with verse 13 of chapter 4, Paul writes, but I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them who are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others who have no hope. Even as our brother Sheldon now is asleep in the Lord. And so Paul said, I wouldn't have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them, and that ye sorrow not, even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also who sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Do we believe that? That's a promise. Let's claim that promise. God wants us to. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them who are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so shall we meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We have no other source that we can find the comfort for such a time as this as we find in the Scriptures. Only in the Scriptures do we find the mysteries of life, and some of the mysteries of death. And so Paul says that these words are written for us. They're written for our comfort, for our welfare, for those of us that remain. And this is beautiful, and this is precious. Shall we bow our heads for a closing word of prayer? Our Heavenly Father, once again we come to thee and the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We thank you for these wonderful promises, these eternal promises that we have just shared from thy word. And Lord, you know we're a needy people, and so you have given us these things in thy word to comfort us, to instruct us, and to edify us. And again, now we pray for the family, for everyone here. We thank you for your presence, Lord. Now keep us and guide us. And we again pray for the ministry that will be carried on for the Lord's Covenant Church and for Pastor Williams. Bless him, strengthen him, guide him, and all that labor with him. We pray your blessing, your protection upon them. And now we give thee thanks for this assembly together and for the life of our brother Sheldon. O God, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen and amen.